can open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. That's where we'll begin our study this evening. Hebrews 12. The text for us says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and let the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So we lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. I wanted to talk with you this evening about that text. Lay aside the weight. And just for a minute, picture yourself with something that you're carrying. It could be a child. It could be some other kind of weight that you just can't set down. It's something that's upon you, and you've got to carry it. And I think we all know how quickly a weight like that begins to bear on us. We know we can't let it down. We know if it's a child particularly, we can't set that child down. We've got to continue to carry that weight. And I know that most of the times we're not in that position, but I can assure you, parents can tell you, there are times when the child is asleep, the child is a little bit like a dead weight, and you're carrying that child, and at the moment, whatever the circumstances, you may be walking somewhere, there's just nowhere to stop for a reprieve. Go to a park or something like that, and there's nowhere to stop, there's nowhere to set that child down. You're just walking with that weight and carrying it. Now, maybe for some of us who have been involved in working out, we know that one of the things that you can do if you're a runner is put weights on your feet. You put those weights usually around your ankles, and you work out with that. You put those weights there. Now, when you run the race, you take those weights off. And then you're supposed to run faster, quicker, easier, because you have worked out with those weights, and now they're no longer on your feet, so you feel much lighter. But then you forget to take the weights off. I know you wouldn't, but you left the weights on. Well, that's what it feels like. You've got those weights. You can't get rid of them. They're there on your feet, and you're running the race now. You say, why didn't I take those off? And they're bogging you down, and at the moment, you really can't stop, or you'll really fall behind. So the pressure of the weight stays with you. The same with carrying a child. When you can't stop and set that child down, you just keep carrying, and the stress and the weight of that bears on you. There are many other good examples of this occurring in our life where we have to physically deal with a weight that we can't get rid of at the moment. But those usually, at least they say to us, eventually I will get to my goal and I'll be able to remove the weight. Eventually I'll get there and everything will be okay. But the weight our scriptures is talking about, it's not talking about the encumbrance of something physically we're carrying. And this is the most difficult part about who we are. We are very emotionally made. We know what it is to feel stress and to worry. And that's very much a part of our lives. And especially if we've done something wrong, that weight of doing that, and even though we may have repented, the heartache that comes from it and the trials that may come from it after we've committed it is a weight that we may have to carry. And it's a very difficult one that lays upon our heart and lays upon our lives. And though we'd like to completely get rid of it, we know God's forgiven us. That's a beautiful blessing. But we still have to deal with the people we committed the sin against, or maybe the repercussions of that sin. We'll have to go through whatever might occur. Sadly, some sins may take us to trial or to some other heartache. So we know what that's like. We know what it is to be stressed. We know what it is to worry. In fact, in our world today, the top number one stress maker for us is job pressure. Working on the job. And you know, under pressure, working on the job, you can be very apt to sin. And that adds doubly to the difficulty. Because you may really want to chew somebody else out or tell them off or use some words you shouldn't use as a Christian or act out in a way you shouldn't. But because of the stress of the job, you would give in. And besides all the other difficulties that come with jobs, the number one stressor in our country today. The number two coming in, this doesn't surprise you, what comes from jobs? Money. And the very next stressor that we have to deal with is the fact that it takes money to live, and if your job is giving you stress and trouble, then obviously the money that it produces, it also adds to the trials of this life. And then how do we use that money? And then when there are so many things that occur, and especially if you have a family with children, there's all kinds of worries and difficulties that come when you do not have enough money. And sometimes, again, you may act in ways or do things that you never thought you would do, but you may do those to take care of those money problems. So I just want you to see how the stresses and so often the sins come right together, don't they? And then the third one in our country that causes so much difficulty and stress for people, this one is what our dear brother now traveled to be with his, what Wilson, Becky have gone up to be with a loved one who is battling cancer. So what's the third stressor of our life? Health. Health is the other difficulty that we run into all the time. And I know that I'm talking to brethren who understand what I'm saying. These are things that we face every day. How will we deal with them? Then, obviously, and sometimes we might think this would be right at the top, but relationships, where if you think about it for a moment, having a job, taking care of your family, dealing with health difficulties, all of that comes down to relationship. And how am I getting along with my loved ones? How am I getting along with my brethren? And as we know, relationships become very tested. And we struggle with them in making right decisions and how we treat each other. And then right from that, here's something that in our country, it says this is the other difficulty. And this one doesn't surprise us at all. And as much as we kind of would like to ignore this one, it's called nutrition. It's what we eat. We so often are what we eat. I know we're what we think, but brethren, so often we are what we eat. Because the foods that we eat are heavy laden with sugars, with all kind of other things that are there from the processed foods. And what occurs by what we eat, and so often the choices we make, can create difficulties and stress. Can't help, we're getting ready to do a weekend dare to be Daniel. And one of the first stories about Daniel as he's carried into captivity is, what is he going to eat? And he chose not to eat the foods of the Chaldeans, but he chose to eat the foods he was allowed to eat under the law. And he took a stand for that. And of course, they were the strongest of the young men because they did God's bidding. And I'm not saying to you that somehow we have these restrictions. In fact, the Bible says to eat your food with thanksgiving. And it says to us that we aren't really what we eat and what we drink. But really, the kingdom is righteousness and it's love and it's all of the beautiful portrayals of what it is to be spiritual. We know that's the real nutrition of the scriptures. But the other side of it is still bearing upon us. In fact, in most studies, what people deal with so often is being overweight and all of the ailments and the difficulties of their health that comes from being overweight. And again, the Bible doesn't say being overweight's a sin. We know that because we're all structured different. Some of us are bigger, some of us are smaller, and we all know that is true. But sadly, with that comes, as we know, such difficulties as sugar diabetes and other troubles and trials that come from what we eat and what it causes for us. Now, my lesson is not about good nutrition. It's not about having good health practices. But one of the other things that falls into this, and it's really the last one, and then I'll go to the one right before it, but the last one is sleep deprivation. And some of the things that will help us to be better as Christians is that we strive to eat right, to be careful, and then exercise as we should. Sounds like your doctor, doesn't it? And that we try to be wise in those areas so that we can live a healthy life in service to God. All of those things will help to remove stress, though I'm going to help us see that that's not the real power of getting rid of these weights that so easily encumber us, that's upon us. But nevertheless, these are the things that cause us to sin. These are the things that bring great difficulty for us in our lives. And to ignore them and to not accept them when the whole world is struggling with them, if everybody around us is struggling with them, then we as Christians should be aware that all of our neighbors and our friends are struggling with these difficulties. How do we help them? If maybe we have those under control, it's still good to know the weights that other people are carrying. They're carrying that little child, and they want a reprieve. They want to be able to stop and lay the child down. They want to get the weights off their feet. Brethren, they're burdened like we are burdened, and often they have no avenue of escape like we do. We have Jesus Christ. Amen? We have the Lord of glory. And we have hope. And we have a way of getting out of the weight and being able to lay it aside. Sometimes we don't do that well. And, of course, that's a little bit of what my lesson's about. But the point is we can. And I said I want to get to the one right before the last. And this is the one that we're really dealing with because it's causing a lot of trouble out on the roads. And what has happened is, I guess you've seen all the pictures, we have become a people that are always doing this. We're always with this thing in front of us, and we're moving it around, and we're looking at it. I'm no different than most of you. I got one of those smartphones, and it tells me everything that I don't think I know I can go get real quick. That's why they're called smartphones, and we can go Google it, or we can Bing it, or go to search engine and find out what we need to know. And these things are here that we've learned tonight that even the electronics that we have don't always work well, but they're always in front of our face. They're always there running our lives. The media world is a great stress for us. And we have to be careful that these things don't run our lives, that we would be tempted to text while we're driving or do things of that nature, that the children of God should know better because the end result is not good, and we know that. And we should use wisdom, and we should serve God well. All of these things are a problem in our lives, and they're creating a lot of heartache and trial. American people, especially through these last, we'd say, probably almost somewhere near a decade since we could go back to 9-1-1, we have been under tremendous stress. We were under stress before that. But you just add 9-1-1 and all the heartache and the trials that have come upon American people, we are very stressed people. Our neighbors are very stressed. They are worrying about a lot of things. And they need to see people who aren't worrying about all those things. They need to see people who, through the love of Christ and the hope of glory, handle them well. And my job tonight is not to get rid of those, because I'm not going to get rid of any of those things I've just mentioned. They're just going to be there as weights, but I want to help us to lay them aside. Doesn't mean that they'll disappear. When I say lay aside, I'm not saying to you that they're going to go away. We know better. And you know I could go on and list many more. They're not going away. They are going to stay with us every day. They're always there. But the concern of them and the struggle with them comes to where our heart is and where is our mind. Where are our eyes? If you go back to the text, notice it says looking to Jesus. The real key to this text is that we're running this race of endurance. We're laying aside these weights that so easily beset us. All the things I just mentioned are hurting every one of us. All of us are in that same position. There's none of us that have escaped. If it's not we ourselves who are enduring it, guess what? It's our children. If it's not the children, then it's some relatives. And it may not be one thing, but it's another. And you top that off with the things that go through our mind, what we think that we shouldn't, what we say that we shouldn't say. We have the struggle with sin itself. And all of that is a part of our lives as Christians. And the only way that we're going to deal with them is what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures say these things. Listen, it says these things easily ensnare us. Look at that. I want to read just for a moment a couple other translations of this verse as it speaks of lay aside. All right, this is from the Common English Bible. It says, so then, let's also run the race that is laid out in front of us, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let's throw off any extra baggage. Get rid of the sin that trips us up. Get rid of the sin that trips us up. Get rid of all the extra baggage we're carrying. There's things we don't need to carry, and it says, get rid of them. Okay, another translation. This is the Amplified translation of this verse. Listen, brethren, very carefully. It really brings it alive to us. It says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, chapter 11, by the way, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight. Let's get rid of everything out there that is causing us trial and trouble and difficulty, any unnecessary weight. And then it says, and the sin which so readily, and this translation says deftly and cleverly, clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patience, endurance, and steady and active resistance, the appointed course and race that is set before us. With endurance, I like that, and steady and active persistence as we follow that course, the race set before us. Our lives, that's what they are. They're a race. They're more like a marathon, not a fast race. But we are in a race that we continue to run and run in Christ. And we set our eyes on Him. Now look, every weight, then sin that ensnares us. I've already pointed and tried to help us see the world and the picture that's out there that we're dealing with. By being able to know that's there and that we're dealing with it, it helps us to find a way of escape. Now I want to remind you before we go any further that what we have as Christians is an amazing blessing. And don't take this one lightly. The key to sin that so always is there and capturing is this beautiful blessing of going to our Father through Jesus every day, all through the day, whenever we're battling a sin, to go to Jesus and have immediate forgiveness through His blood. We become a child of God, and the blood of Christ is there, and when we face a sin or we give in to a sin, we have immediate avenue. We can approach our Father and go to Him and talk with Him through Jesus. Jesus is our mediator, He's our advocate, and He's there ready and present to help us. So many people lack that wonderful blessing. When we say lay aside every sin that ensnares us, we have this great blessing of Jesus Christ. Now the text that I'm talking about is not far from Hebrews. As we go back toward the back of our Bible now, just go to 1 John. And when we go over to the first letter of John, back near Revelation, we look there at 1 John, and it simply says to us in this beautiful picture, in verse 6 it says, John 1, 1 John 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It's real simple. You can't say that you're in fellowship with God while you're living in sin, in darkness. But on the other hand, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And listen, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sins. He goes on to say, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, we're children of God, if we see those sins in our lives and we confess them, now listen, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The people of the world that face all these struggles, all these weights of life, not being Christians, do not have this promise, brethren. We can set ourselves upon this marvelous promise. Every moment of the day, we know we have a fellowship with the Father. So whatever we're facing, we lose our temper, we get upset, we struggle with a particular trial or difficulty in our life, and we give in to some sin, we can immediately say, Father, I'm sorry that I got stressed. I was really upset at the moment, and I said something I shouldn't have said. We can go apologize, and we can take it back no matter what might have caused it, and no matter how we felt justified at the moment, we can fix it. Because justified in something doesn't allow us to sin, brethren. Never does, never will, never can. We could be angry and not sin, the Bible says. But we've got to remember, anger does not work the righteousness of God. Anger cannot control us. Anger is a reaction to something in us that we do not like, that we are stressed or upset about, and we can't allow that to take us away from Christ. No matter what the circumstances. And bitterness, brethren. In all of these things, we become bitter with ill health, with the struggles of a job, with the relationship we might be in. We become embittered. And bitterness is the root of all kind of evil. Bitterness causes us to do things that are just not as Christians should be. We know many examples of that in our lives and with our own relatives and friends and family and Christians. When they've been embittered by something that's happened in their life, and maybe at that moment it was justified to be upset at the moment, but we don't allow it to walk us into a steady action of sin. Now look, whenever we preach a lesson like this, and we realize how difficult it is to get rid of weights that are on us, how hard it is when at the moment we're struggling, and it's very important when we draw a picture for ourselves and we're trying to run a race for Christ and we're carrying these weights that we shouldn't be carrying, it's easy for somebody to say, put it down, but that doesn't happen that way. Just one example. If you are depressed, it is not going to help. Nobody's going to help you by saying, quit being depressed. That'll make you more depressed. It never works that way. When you're digging a hole and somebody says, quit digging the hole, the problem is the shovel will dig one more hole. It just will. Brethren, we don't help people by telling them, quit that, stop that, you shouldn't be acting that way. Maybe you're right, maybe they shouldn't. But is that really putting yourself in their place and trying to see what they're going through and why they are feeling that way? Now, some of us, we let ourselves dig that hole too easily. That's a whole other story. But the point is, when we're helping each other and when we're trying to get out of a situation ourselves, keep in mind what we're told to do here is not easy to do. It's very difficult to lay aside the things that are stressing you and the troubles that you're having. Here's why. Here's the key. Now, all of you stay with me. And you are. I'm not saying you aren't. I'm saying I want you to think about this. I want you to think about how we do this. As soon as something bad happens, you start talking about it. And you start talking. And you can't quit. You just can't. It's on your mind. Then you try to start solving it. You try to figure it out. How can I make it better? Am I right? Have you been there? You're talking about it. You're thinking about it all the time. You say, oh, I got to quit that. I got to quit talking about it. I got to quit thinking about it. And it won't go away. You can't get rid of it. It's almost like it's glued to you. It's Velcroed to you. And you try to strip it off and it grabs again on another place of the Velcro. You just cannot get rid of the stress and the trials that you're thinking about. And if it's really bad, it bears down on you. Now, I want to tell you, I think everyone who's older here could tell you this for the younger, and I could tell you from experience, the majority of things that I lost sleep over and that I worried about did not happen. Or if it happened, it wasn't as bad as I thought. That's not true of everything. We all know that. But overall, the majority of the things that I was stressed about and that I was worried about, that I felt like I had to do something about, and I know that elderly brethren here could say the same thing that I said after many years of experience. In the end, it didn't happen the way I was so worried and so stressed about. It just didn't happen, not that way. And then I think, well, why did I worry about it so much? Why did I stress myself? Because it is not easy to throw that weight off. You have to work at it. It is not easy to quit thinking about a problem. We are made that way. Are you listening? God made us that way for a reason. He made us to deal with our problems and to solve them. He made us to be workers. He made us so we could handle the world that we're in. But on the same way, He didn't want us to worry so much it makes us sick. It makes us ill. And that we leave Him out for solutions. See the point? It is one thing to be concerned about something and to do what you can for it. It's another to take all the weight upon yourself and carry all the burden. Often Kathleen says to me, I'm one of the shepherds of four. And I get concerned about something, and I'll do this to her. I'll be talking and talking about a problem. And she'll remind me, you know, Ron, it's not all your burden. You have three other men to help you carry it and solve it. If I just think of God that way, if I just think I got God to walk with me with this burden, I think I would let it go a lot better. But isn't that amazing when she reminds me I'm not alone and I got three other men working with me on this problem? You don't know how quickly that relieved. Do you see what I'm saying? That immediately takes away the pressure of the moment. It becomes a blessing to me. I'm so thankful. Well, preachers always have three points at the end as they get you into a lesson, and the things that I've talked about this evening, I believe, can come together. And how do we look at Jesus at the end? We put our eyes on Jesus. How do we do that? How do we look to Jesus? I want to suggest to you that Jesus told us how to look at him in Matthew 11. Now, and I want you to notice, he doesn't take all burdens from us. In fact, there's another text in Scripture, just to remind you, in the Galatian letter, chapter 6, it says that we are to bear our own burdens. And then it also says, help bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the love of Christ. But I want you to go to Matthew 11, right at the end of that chapter, and I'd like for you to notice with me these words of Jesus. Here's what he says that we fail to do so often. It's a text you know. It's a text we sing in songs. And that text is, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And he says, and I will give you rest. Now watch, he doesn't take every burden away. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then he says, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He is trying to say to us that there is a burden that we must carry. Not all burdens will be removed. There is what we have to take up and carry ourselves as Christians. You're not going to be burdenless. But there are weights that you're carrying that he says, I'll help you with them. You don't have to carry them alone. Your brethren will help you with them. And you are not alone. Listen, you're not alone. And God is there ready to help. And your friends and loved ones are ready to help. I cannot tell you how many times when I went to somebody who hadn't been to services and I sat down with them to talk with them, it was amazing to me how many of them were truly going through a stressful time and were carrying a great burden. And what puzzled me was, here you have your family in Christ, your true family, the people who really love you, and you're not going to them and letting them help you. You're staying out. You're removing yourself from the people who understand what you're going through and know the heartache you're struggling with is similar to what they have struggled with. It may not be identically the same, but here are brethren who know what it is to struggle and what to go through trials. Here's brethren who are sinners saved by the blood of Christ. Here are imperfect people who know they cannot judge one another because they got enough faults of their own. They can't be pointing fingers at other people. Here are brethren who are told to love one another with humility, always thinking they could be caught up in the same sin or the same struggle. We have all of those beautiful teachings of Scripture that Jesus, when Jesus says, come and bring your burdens to me, he is saying, come to your fellow brethren, come to your family in Christ, come to Christ himself, and trust that he'll help you with those burdens. Now, the second verse, that's the first one, as we're bringing this to a point of conclusion, Christ says, here's how you're going to handle your stressors. Here's how you're going to handle your weights and your sins. First and foremost, come to Jesus. Confess them. Tell Jesus what you're struggling with. Tell him what problems are in your life. And be clear and straight about that. Yes, you're talking to the Father through Jesus, but you're talking to Jesus. He's right there with you. Jesus says, come to me. Bring your burdens to me. He says, come here and I'll help you with it. So when you're talking to the Father, you're talking to Jesus. He's there with you, going through it with you. I know that he tells us to talk to the Father, but he's also saying that I'm with you in it. I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm taking it there to the Father for you, and I'm mediating, and I'm serving you in what you're dealing with. And then your family is here who are not judging you, who are not trying to put greater burdens on you, who are not giving you a guilt trip, who are not trying to make you feel bad about what you're going through. Your brethren are saying there with tears, I know what you're going through. I've gone through similar things. Well, I haven't really faced what you're facing, but I'm ready to help you get through it. I'm here for you. I'm your brother. I'm your sister. And the Bible says the love of Christ is to bear one another's burdens. And then the second point is quit worrying. You got to work at this like I do, but you got to just quit worrying. Quit doing that to yourself. Quit talking and talking and talking about it, just like I say to myself when I'm doing that. All right, Ron, this is it. Stop it. Quit it. Quit thinking about it. Quit talking about it. Quit dwelling on it for a while. Stop. And trust. It's called stop and trust. Stop worrying and trust. Now, you know that text, right? It's also in Matthew. That's Matthew 6, right? And how many times? At least two or three times he says, quit worrying. In chapter 6, 31 through 34, there it says very clearly, the text actually starts in verse 25, but 31 says, therefore, do not worry. Therefore, do not worry. Then, of course, he says, the Gentiles seek after all the things that you're dealing with. They're dealing with all of that. But it says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Your Heavenly Father knows what you're dealing with. Whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whether it's a job, trust, pray. Know he hears you and will help you. And it says, just first put the kingdom of heaven. Notice the burden's not fully taken away. It says, put your mind on the kingdom of heaven. Put your mind on the righteousness of God. Remove what you're worrying about and put the spiritual thoughts in place of it. Think about Christ. Think about God. Think about spiritual matters. And he says, all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry. Quit worrying. So the second step, go to Jesus, take it to him, take your burdens to him, know that he's going to help you with it. He's not going to completely remove them, but take them to him. Then let's quit worrying about it. I know you won't let it go, so I'm not going to tell you to let it go. So I'm just going to say what the Bible says. Quit worrying. A lot of us say, give it to God and let go. Well, the truth is you won't. Most of us don't. So why should I say something to you? I like that idea. I like the idea of giving it to God and letting it go. But the truth is we won't. We'll just pick it right back up. We just start worrying about it again. So give it to God and let him help you with it. And try to quit worrying about it. All right, I've given that to God. And every time it starts to come back to your mind, what should you do? Oh, right, I gave that to God. Soon as it starts coming back again, I gave that to God. And then the last thing, as we bring our lesson to an end, the last thing is prayer, we know. The power of prayer takes away anxiety. When you are really worried, find you a closet, find you a quiet place, and talk to God about it in prayer. That's what the Philippian letter says. Pray about it. With all these worries and trials, we go to Philippians 4 now. In Philippians chapter 4, this beautiful thought that's presented in the Philippian letter. So, so powerful. Very carefully think about this, all of us together. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. That's what the New King James Version says. Be anxious. Don't worry for no reason. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Listen, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Every one of those texts come with a promise. Every one of them come with a promise. Bring your burdens to me. And he says, I'll give you peace. I'll give you comfort. I'll get you through it. Quit worrying about this thing and that thing and whether you'll have it. Put the kingdom of God in your mind and your heart and God's righteousness, and I'll take care of you. I will provide what you need. And I will give you peace in prayer. Everything is centered in Jesus. Everything here is centered in Jesus. Well, that's my lesson tonight. I wanted to help us a little bit with putting the weight aside that so easily ensnares us or besets us, and run this race of life with endurance, keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the author, who is the finisher of our faith. And we'll arrive, brethren, and we'll find plenty of help on the way. And of course, the invitation of the Lord is that everything's in Jesus then. If you want this kind of peace, this kind of removal of worry and anxiety, you give your life to Jesus. Confess him as Lord. You turn from the world of sin that will really punish you in these areas of heartache and trials. And you give your life to Christ. And you do that in that belief and repentance and confession, being buried in baptism, as the scripture teaches, to come forth a new creature with hope and with the help that you need. How can we assist tonight? Make your way here to the front while together we stand and sing an invitation song.